What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode for The Love of Cinema, a movie podcast where our motto is, we just hope it doesn't suck. This is episode 378, broken up into two parts, A and B.
A.
B.
B.
Thank you, sirs. 378A posting on 416 will be discussion on Monkey Man, and 378B posting on 419, will be discussion on Society of the Snow, a recent recipient of some Oscar nominations. It's a little old, but bear with us. I am one of your hosts, Grayson Maxwell, joining me as he does every week is my co-host, Roger Stillian, our lovely permaguest, Christopher Bond. Gentlemen, how are we this week?
Good.
Good this week.
I fumbled the opening, but I'm not going to start it again. Because
I fumbled the opening. You know what? This is the most real cut we've ever done.
Yep.
I think
you would have cut three times in a normal circumstance.
Yep, yeah, I would have, but I'm trying not to do that anymore.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
So what's going on this week, guys? How are we? What's going on?
Chris, I heard you went to
yodeling. I heard you guys watched a pretty good movie.
I did. I also heard that you went to Switzerland to become a yodeler in your off time.
Yeah, that's where you were last week. I do fancy
a yodel every now and then.
I was just concerned that like you made like a rash decision to do that. It's good to see you've come back to your senses.
No. Instead, I made the calculated and not rash decision to go to Cleveland. So there was that too, which that turned out being what it was. But
would you have rather gone to Switzerland?
Maybe.
You're late.
Yeah, I mean, I was in good company in Cleveland. I have a friend who, him and his husband are from New York. They wanted to come to Cleveland area to see the eclipse and stuff. So they were in town. We don't live that far from Cleveland, so we drove up to see him and stuff. So it was a nice time in that regard, and went up with the fam, saw the eclipse, all that kind of thing too.
Sure.
So got
the
some
Earth
cool
didn't die during the eclipse.
You know, I was convinced that
neither was there an apocalypse level event, no rapture, mm-hmm. and much like eclipses have happened for billions of years before this.
I was convinced that there was going to be a zombie apocalypse starting and stuff, but then only in the totality line. After there were no zombies where I was like, okay, well maybe the totality line was the only place that was safe. The apocalypse was outside, coming in.
Everything out, sure.
But no, to my chagrin, that is not what happened.
Come on, we just unpack. No, I would not. No, guy. I would not die in a zombie apocalypse. Let's get one thing very straight here.
Why do you think you wouldn't die?
Well, hold on. Why do you think I would die?
Every 9 episodes.
We do.
Okay. Top three reasons why you die. Okay. Let's see here. No actual applicable apocalypse skills.
The hell does that mean? I can forage.
Can you cook?
Hold on. Because your body is able to forage, and knowing how to forage are two different things.
I'll be fine. Okay. Reason number two.
You don't have the size nor strength to be physically imposing or useful. So there's two.
Okay.
And then three is, I don't got a good three that sounds fair and that I like to say on air actually. So I'll tell you off air.
Any that's viable really weapons training?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I can shoot a gun.
No. Again, just because you can pick up a gun and pull the trigger does not qualify.
I can shoot a gun.
Able to shoot a firearm.
I'm somewhat trained on that.
Can you take it apart, clean it?
No, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. No.
All right. So you can put a gun in his hand.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'll be all right. Can you load and unload a gun?
Listen,
yes,
here's the problem. I feel like he'd be the guy sneaking into the food section and like taking the almonds that were scavenged. You know what I mean? Like taking an extra serving or two every now and then, skimming from the top. He would like to be in charge of like stock and inventory. That way he can fudge the numbers when he wants to have an extra Krispy Kreme. That's what would happen.
I wouldn't know because I'm good with Excel. So that's why I want to be in charge of the budget. I'm good with
Excel's going to matter Excel. During the apocalypse.
When the apocalypse
that's
happens.
True. That's right.
They pop over my lappy and
my lappy. When the apocalypse eventually happens and you're wandering the United States and you find that that rough and tumble biker gang that's running a city. I want you to walk into them and be like, I'm pretty good with Excel, guys.
I could probably do your taxes.
Just
probably.
You would then just be dinner. at that point, but it is what it is.
Maybe. I wouldn't agree with you, but we just
that
watched Society
back
of
to
the
a movie
Snow.
We watched this week.
Which, by the way, I didn't know you could just like eat people for weeks and not have any like serious repercussion, but we're going to talk about that. Anyway,
the thing, if they're refrigerated, and yeah. they would be.
Yeah.
They would be.
All right, anyway, what else is going on, guys? How was the eclipse, just for people? I didn't get to see, the one here wasn't really spectacular at all.
It was pretty fucking rad.
It was pretty cool.
We won't see another one like that in this area
for
75
a long time,
years.
Yeah. So like, in our usual area, it was like what, like 90% totality?
Or
like
it was 96.
Okay, so pretty high.
Yeah, it got pretty damn dark.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Where I went to, it was like nighttime in the daytime kind of deal, and you know, like
6 minutes.
Yep. And for three whole minutes, you could actually look at the eclipse without the glasses and
pretty
cool. totality, which was really neat. That's it was so cooler cool. than I thought it was going to be. I was ready for it to be like, okay, whatever, you know, if I get to hang out with a couple buddies, this is cool. But no, I was like, okay, this is like an event. I get it now. Like,
yeah,
I'm glad I got to see it.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. That's pretty cool. I'm really kind of I see it through pictures and not like on social media, which is cool. I wish I got to see it more, because one here was pretty rad, but like you couldn't, of course, look at the sun, so you had to have these glasses on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And same. Like, it's cool,
well,
to
you
see
shouldn't
it
look
happens,
at the sun anyway.
I know. Anyway. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I've seen some pictures of some pretty rad. It looks like it's night during the daytime type of deal.
Yeah.
My favorite things are people like, I have to put glasses on my dog. And people are like, your dog doesn't stare at the sun.
When's the last time your dog
never
looked
does
up?
That?
I don't think their necks work that way.
No. Weird. Just sitting there just staring into the space.
I have
space.
To put glasses.
Okay, so
I mean,
I have a question.
Cats.
So I have a question about.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Okay.
Dog eclipse
now, this
glasses
is,
question?
No,
or?
No. This is movie theater etiquette. I wanted to ask. So, okay. Okay.
He's got a bone to pick somebody.
So, okay, Roger, I want to tell you. So, I didn't, because of, I guess, the nature
of
Movie Man. Well, no, because.
Probably because I have far more movie theater.
No, Roger talked to.
As a manager.
We talked last week about the 9 a.m. showing for Godzilla vs.
Kong.
I loved it. 9 a.m. IMAX showing, loved it. Throw Monkey Man wasn't an IMAX. And so the earliest showing was 10:30 yesterday. So I saw yesterday. So when you look, 10:30 is still better than 1 p.m. I got to tell you that. But. So there's only one family ahead of me, but there was a mom, dad, and there was like 16 kids. It was a party. So and I got there with like, well, I don't know what they were seeing, but they were.
I was like, Jesus, what?
Well, the theater I mean, it's got like 36
screens.
Monkey
Man is not for children.
It's massive. Anyway, so I thought, okay, they're gonna get a couple popcorn, a couple drinks. I'll just stand here. There was no one in line behind me, and their order being, because also it's so early, they only had one person in concession. Their order took 21 minutes because each kid had to do his own separate transaction and get their own receipt. By the time I was done, by the time they were done, there was like 16 people in line, and everyone's like, are we going to be able to get concessions? And they're like, I'm sorry, I have to do all these transactions separately. And the woman turned around and said, don't be disrespectful, mind your own business. That's where I have an issue right there.
Well, so legitimately, etiquette wise, it's not really on the family.
Yeah.
Because, like, look, if they have to do individual transactions, that's no different than having 12 people in a row at one time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's completely the same thing. Now, her saying something is probably not necessary, but I mean, don't really have a problem with it if people are bitching. Be like, hey, if you want to bitch, you bitch at them. They're the only people, they're the ones that are taking forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I walked in there and then 11 other people walked in at the same time. That's 12 people now in line. Doesn't matter if they came together.
I didn't have a problem with it until she said, because like none of us really said anything. It was more of like a comment that like someone said loud enough to his girlfriend that like he meant to be heard by other people.
Good.
And then she turned around and said,
fuck.
But like, I mean, it was her comment of don't be disrespectful, mind your business. Like, that's where I'm like, okay, well, you didn't have to do that. Okay, you didn't have to say that. You could have
I mean, her life choices to have each of their kids get their own receipt became everyone's business when it was taken a while. But I don't know. It's one of those gray areas.
But where does the onus fall? Where does the onus fall?
Well,
like,
the majority of it has to go onto the movie theater.
Yeah. Yeah,
for being understaffed.
Yeah.
Okay, fair.
Yep.
Or the person doing it not recognizing, like, calling somebody like, hey, I need some help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because there's more than two people at that movie theater.
Oh, yeah, there has to be.
Oh, no, there's multiple floors and different. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. But it just, I want to ask that question because, like, I've come across that before, and, like, I handle it the best way I can when I'm behind the counter. Well, but it's
let
just,
me
it's
let
tough.
Me ask one question, though. If it is multiple floors and a 36 screen, that means there should be multiple concession stands, right?
There are. One on each floor. Yeah.
So after over. I would have realized that they're doing this individually, yeah. I would have went to another concession stand personally.
I didn't realize. I was just on my phone doing Pokemon Go, and I wasn't, like, in Clash, and I wasn't well, like Clash of Clans. I just wasn't paying attention.
So technically, you're next in line after yes. that group. Maybe yes. you wouldn't, but like if I'm the 11th person in line after that, bro, I ain't waiting.
Yeah, nope, yeah. Me neither. I can't.
Well, like the other piece of this is, it's like as an employee, I don't know how much they're allowed. I would just slide down. Like, it depends on how many registers you're allowed to run and stuff like that too. But it's like, you know, hey, I'm gonna handle the other people behind you. You know, or you know, I'm not gonna do separate transactions for everyone. I can't. I'm the only one here right now. I have to keep the line moving.
Well,
there's
a
lot of ways
you
can handle
get
as
much
employee.
More organized and come back in a minute. Yeah, like, get everything in line. I'll start pounding them out.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's ways to handle that from an employee standpoint too. But they're not getting paid much, and they probably don't give a shit.
Well, so the other thing is, right? One person at concession stand legitimately can rock through stuff pretty quickly. Yeah, like yeah. I did it personally. We used to handle like schools coming in mm-hmm. to watch.
Oh,
like,
I remember that. Yeah.
Films and stuff.
Yeah.
So multiple times I handled that by myself.
Yeah.
With more than like 100 people to deal with, mm-hmm. it's not difficult.
Yeah.
You just have to budget things correctly.
It's not fun.
Be like, look, I need to know how many Cokes you need. Need to know how many of this, and then like, look, here's 15 Cokes. Here's 15 mm-hmm. Diet Cokes. Here's 12 Mellow Yellow. Here's blah blah blah. All right. Here's 100 popcorn. Give me your money.
Yep.
Get the fuck out of my face.
This is the cost. I got it all right here. There's just grab and go.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I run into like an interesting thing. I see it at like a concession. I'm like, I want to ask my movie theater etiquette too. It's just,
yeah.
It's tough to sometimes understand. And like, I have some other questions that I came across last week. I forget, but about how loud can you talk to the person in the seat next to you while you're in kind of a crowded theater? Like, if you just, I understand you're going to talk and maybe you like, you have some remarks, but like, you probably shouldn't be. I don't know. There's all kinds of different movie theaters.
My statement for that is an easy one. You should never be able to be heard more than two seats away in either direction.
Mm-hmm.
Two seats right, either side,
fair.
Front or back.
Yeah.
Because like that's like a 9-seat zone
yep.
here.
Yep.
I shouldn't hear what the fuck you had. Now, like, look, if something like, oh, you know, like if that happens and everybody does it, totally
yeah.
different story.
Or like something happens and someone goes,
but
holy
you can't
shit.
Be like,
yeah.
Don't
yeah.
go in there. Don't yeah. fucking be that guy. Don't be that guy.
Well, because my whole thing is like, look, everyone pay, like, however you're in there, A-list or you paid for a ticket, everyone went through the process of paying for that ticket. So they mm-hmm. deserve to have the same quiet experience everyone else gets. But
yeah.
I
feel like that could be a whole other episode.
I know I've said this before. I will 100% tell somebody to shut the fuck up in a movie theater.
I've done it.
I've done it. We've all done it.
Do not care.
I've done it. I've gone as far as throwing a whole thing of Coke at someone before, which I'm not proud of. But at the same time, you know, someone needed to come get their goddamn
kid. So here's the thing. Was it appropriate at the time?
It was.
Like, it can be appropriate now and regrettable later.
True.
It absolutely can be. Yes, look, I handled that situation the way I did. Maybe shouldn't have done that in hindsight,
yeah,
but it was perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Some states is considered assault. Blah 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 blah. But you
it's
know.
Actually every state. I'm pretty sure.
Actually, yeah. I've learned no.
Interesting. Well,
place like Iowa's cool with it.
Wait, what? Iowa's cool with assault with
you,
Coke?
I'll tell you guys later.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway. All right, this is episode 378 of For the Love of Cinema, a podcast about movies, film, and cinema. It's posted each and every Tuesday and Friday at 5 a.m. on Podbean, which then distributes to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music. At a later date, we haven't got the schedule nailed down for YouTube, but it does post on YouTube. Each and every week, we start with the box office, current and upcoming releases, what streaming, trailers, and movies of the week. Without further ado, this time, let's jump into the box office. Now, what do you guys think took numero uno?
I know it took number
I'm
one.
I'm guessing it was the movie of the week, Civil War.
It was.
It's not the movie of the week, sir.
Well, I mean, it is in like theatrically, but we're just not. We're a week behind.
Are we?
We are. Well, Roger and I are. Chris, you must be a week in the future, but 25.7 million the Civil War took in, which brings this worldwide total 25.7. That's weird. There's no international total yet. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Godzilla Cross Kong, The New Empire, sitting strong at number two, 15.5 million. Dune 2, it's coming for you at 436 million, but that's not going to catch Dune. That's like 210 million away. There's no way it's going to catch that. But Chris, did you by chance catch that one?
Which one?
Godzilla and Kong. the new Empire.
I did not catch Godzilla and Kong. My whole weekend got screwed up last week.
I feel like that's one that you'd enjoy, but sometimes
I think it was on my most anticipated. It was on my top five. Okay. I did want to see it. Yeah, I'll end up watching it. Yeah, I just don't know when.
Number three, Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire, 5.8 million, which brings the worldwide total to 159. I'm glad that's still making money because I don't want to lock out of a third one because of the poor box office, but it was not the critical reception it should have been. Kung Fu Panda 4, 5.5 million with a worldwide of 452, still just coasting on up.
Who didn't think Kung Fu Panda would make any money?
I know, right?
Jeez. Who didn't think that?
Just critics.
Oh, right. It's just there's still like a sizable crowd going into that theater too. I saw, my goodness. Dune Part 2, 4.3 million, number 5, with a worldwide of 683. That could legitimately hit 700 million here. It could coast to 700. I hope it does. It deserves it. Deserves every bit of that. 6 through 10 are as follows. Monkey
Man. Have
you seen
the cut of the Paul Atreides speech? With some Linkin Park undercut over
top. No, but that sounds amazing.
It's like, what if Dune was made in 2003? It's fucking rad.
She's got Transformers music in the background. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah, check that out. All right, six through 10, Monkey Man, The First Omen, The Long Game, Shrek 2 re-release, got 1.35 million. Yep. And, well, see, the re-release thing is getting a little out of control. However, I am excited for the Mummy re-release. Chris, I thought you'd also be excited for this.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Well, so the same week, for a week, limited engagement, is the original Alien and the Mummy. And you haven't seen the Alien, have you, Chris?
Like the original Alien?
Yeah, 1979.
I've seen Alien.
Okay, well, I mean, you never know. But, I mean...
No, I mean... It's a fair question to ask me at this point. So, no, you're right. But, yes, I've seen Alien.
Okay, that's one of my favorite. But, yeah, that and The Mummy, that's going to be
weird.
Have
you ever seen Aliens?
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 Like
Aliens? Aliens, and then the third one should have been called Aliens-es.
Yeah.
plural.
Aliens. Triple S.
Alii. That's the plural. Yeah, plural the plural. So, there's your box office. Nothing crazy. Nothing crazy. I'm actually... Is it just me or is it really slow? Because like Ghostbusters is still making, like, it's still number three, and that movie shouldn't be making much money at this point.
It's just really slow. Middle of April, man. This is exactly how it should be.
I'm surprised.
Now, like, look, if we get numbers like this in the middle of next month,
that's a problem. Yeah,
I'm surprised that with the reviews of Ghostbusters that it did better than Monkey Man. I thought that Ghostbusters would be in like the bottom five
R-rated
and
movie.
Something else.
But Ghostbusters has a much wider swath to pull from than Monkey Man, because if you watch the trailer and then look at the poster or whatever, like, I imagine most people are turned off just by the content of it. Right.
The other part too with Monkey Man is, besides Dev Patel, no one has heard of anybody else in that movie.
Okay, that's true. Gotcha. That's very true. Except they don't know it, but they have heard of the crazy pilot from what was that movie, the remake with Hannibal, with Liam Neeson, Bradley Cooper? Oh, the A-Team remake. He was a crazy pilot, which was he's amazing. I love that guy. But that's your box office. Let's take a look at current and upcoming releases. Oh boy, I really do hope that this is actually kind of a strong summer, because I don't think it's going to. It's not really a strong fall or spring so far. No comments on that?
I didn't know that was a question.
Yeah, that was a statement, not a question.
Sorry, I was trying to get to fill time. I was trying to... All right. All right, let's take a look at what's coming.
I mean, the answer to that is no.
Yeah.
It's really not.
This past weekend brought us Civil War, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, wasn't even in the top 10, Sting wasn't in the top 10. Thank you very much. We could do Sting next week. Roger, just say. April 19th, Abigail, Hard Miles, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and Sasquatch Sunset. I am interested in all three of those big releases.
Sunset's like super fucked up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right, fair enough.
Here's the thing. I'll never watch it.
And coming from you, that means something, because I feel like you have a much different definition than most people about that. April 26th, Alien re-release, Challengers, and The Mummy. Now, Roger, what did we discover about Challengers this week?
So Challengers is scoring extremely high critically and audience-wise for people that have seen it so far. Like, far higher than, but I guess the dude that made this, and I'm not familiar with any of his previous work, apparently like this is kind of what he does, makes like people movies that people like, so, or that people find acceptable. But I mean, this is the first one that I think that I've ever seen that's, you know, about group sex and tennis that's got like a 90 plus on Rotten Tomatoes.
So I don't know if it's about group sex at this point.
I don't think either.
After our discussion, I looked a little bit more into it, and I think it's like, I think the film is about perspective, and it does like, it, like it's about a previous relationship and a current relationship, and then like the things that revolve around it.
Hold on,
it's like,
wait. Until I'm proven otherwise, though, I will stick with what I know.
But hold on, but like, I don't think Roger was serious when like group sex and ten. I could just the trailer.
No,
the first
I'm not entirely unserious. About
the trailer doesn't really leave that out of the question.
Yeah, no. Listen, if you watch just the regular Challengers trailer, it is definitely something that is in play.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, okay. May 3rd, The Fall Guy, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, and Tarot. May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and We Grown Now Goes Wider.
Super pumped up for Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah.
God, it looks
May 17th, good. Back to Black, If Imaginary Friends, and The Chapters. Sorry, The Stranger Chapter 1. The Chapters,
don't care
Strangers
about any of
those. 1. I'm excited about If.
I'm kind of excited about If.
Too. I'm really psyched about If. May 24th, Furiosa, the Mad Max, a Mad Max saga, and Garfield. What's interesting about that is I've got to talk to the stunt director from who's
Garfield's
now on my
stunt director.
No,
ooh, all right, how's that?
The stunt director from Furiosa, both Furiosa films, and going to be on the next one. I got to talk to him about some stunts that were done. He's like, we did some stuff on that movie that's never been done before. It's going to be awesome. So I'm really psyched about that. May 31st, Ezra, and we'll stop in the beginning of June here. June 7th, Bad Boys 4, Ride or Die. June 14th, Pixar's Inside Out 2 and The Watchers.
Bad for boys.
You can never resist that, and I appreciate that about you.
Why would I stop?
Why would you stop, indeed? Chris, any comments before we move on? Trailers?
Boys for Bad.
Boys for Bad, indeed. Let's talk about some...
I do appreciate that trailer, though.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Oh,
Reggie, you need
trailer?
To get a job. He's like, sir, I'm a U.S. Marine. He's like, then you need to deploy.
Reggie.
Oh, he's Jesus. Like, you need to get a job. He's like, I have a job. I'm a Marine. You need to deploy.
Let's talk about what's streaming this week. We're back to our rotation, beginning of the rotation on Netflix. I watched several Netflix movies this week, but one I revisited that I love, and I will talk about this movie until I am blue in the face, Mine. By directors Fabio Guglioni and Fabio Resinaro. Sorry if I mispronounced those. With Armie Hammer, Annabelle Wallace, and Tom Cullen. Now, I know Armie Hammer raises the flag for a lot of people because he turned out to be not a great person. But
what?
I love Mine. Mine is about a military sniper who's in the desert. His partner is killed by a mine, and when he goes to – he's trying to help his partner, and when he – you hear the – click onto mine himself, and he can't move, and he's calling to base, and he has to wait like 56 hours for pickup for the convoy to come in that area to pick him up, and it does all kinds of weird stuff. He's thinking about the girl he left behind and how it's affected him, and he's looking at he's some guy in the desert comes to save him, but what's really there and what isn't because of no water and the hallucination. Like, it's a really interesting movie how this is woven together. I really love what they've done with the whole what's there, what's not. And he's thinking back to the girl he left behind, played by Annabelle Wallace. And we see that scene multiple times. I think Mine's a real treat, but I know a lot of people don't feel the same way, but that's one of the movies that on Netflix, sometimes I'll just turn on for background noise. I love Mine.
I've seen clips of that film, and it's one that always kind of intrigues me every time I see it, but I haven't watched it fully at this point.
I've never seen it.
No. Well, there's another one very similar. It's called The Wall with, who was Kick-Ass? What's his name? Aaron Taylor Johnson and John Cena. But in the beginning, John Cena is the one that's killed, and then it's Aaron
and
Taylor
you can't
Johnson.
See him the rest of the movie. Fuck yeah, bro!
I didn't even realize what you were talking about. Telling, oh yeah, that's John Cena's thing, the wrestling. Yeah, can't see me. That's one where he's talking to the sniper that's trying to kill him, and they're like for like 90 minutes. They're talking about. And then, like, they go through really interesting conversations. And the ending is one of those endings that's like, fuck this. I cannot believe I wasted time on this movie. I don't mean like that. It's just one of those endings that's like, you watched it only to realize that no one makes it out. It's like, ah, it sucks, man. But
spoilers.
Well, spoilers from many years ago. From
11 years ago.
Yeah, fine. Roger, let's talk about Ready Player One by director Steven Spielberg, Ty Sheridan, Olivia Cooke, Ben Mendelsohn, Lena Waithe, T.J. Miller, Simon Pegg, Mark Rylance, Ralph Ineson, 2018.
So this is a movie that should have been astronomically huge. Wasn't. For some reason, this is back before we could get good video game movies. But it's a fun movie. It's pretty interesting. It is based off a book that is far, far better. It is a movie, though, that I do like to watch just because it looks really good. And it is fun. Mm-hmm. But it's a movie that has so many pop culture references. Like, they went out of their way to try to shoehorn more stuff in. And it actually is to the detriment of the movie. Mm-hmm. And there's a big significant change from the book to the movie, which I get. But it's like, I honestly think in this movie, if they would have used the path that the book laid out, they would have had a cheaper film and a better film.
Gotcha.
Which I don't see how that's a bad
thing.
Yeah,
that sounds like a win-win, right?
So, but I mean, like, look, it's a fun movie. Lots of references, good young cast, lots of people in it. So it's a fun movie. Check it out.
I remember Ben Mendelsohn really being one of the pulls in that movie. He's really exquisite in that film.
Ben Mendelsohn is exquisite in everything that he does.
Exquisite. He's amazing. He gets that word as a descriptor. We don't use that word very often, but he is exquisite. Chris, what's your take on Ready Player One?
I mean, I don't have any of the book knowledge. So when I saw it, I was like, okay, this is a pretty cool movie. I didn't mind it. I did notice all the pop culture things that were in it, and I thought, this doesn't seem right for when the book was written. So it doesn't line up quite right for like some of the stuff that, like you said, they tried to shoehorn in.
Well, so here's the thing with the book. So this movie came out in what, 2018? The mm-hmm. book's only from like 2015 though.
Yeah, but still, but like in the gaming world, there's a lot of things that like sure. that happen, you know, that happen pretty quick. So it's like, you know, there are some things you can, if you think about it, you'll notice.
Well,
it's like,
one of the big shifts from the book to the movie is the book relies heavily on a lot of 80s movies references mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And they don't touch on that too much.
Yeah.
Like they try to like bring it up to the 2000s.
Well, yeah. You want a current movie to hit a current audience in a way.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're going to try to do some nostalgia, especially in video game world, like mm-hmm. you can absolutely tap into the 80s and early 90s stuff.
True.
You don't have to be like, hey, remember that game that came out, you know, last year?
Yeah.
That's old. Remember? That's old.
Could be like rights stuff though, you know, have to pay for that kind of thing, you know.
Well, I mean, that's the thing; it's all licensing.
Sure. Yeah.
I always love the personal choice for me though is the main character when he's, oh, I forget who the person is with has a gun, but it's the pulse rifle from Aliens. It's the my favorite movie weapon of all time. I think is the best movie weapon of all time. That's always been. When I saw that, I was cheering. I was that guy in the theater who was like clapping and cheering, like yeah.
You're that guy that I hate. Got it.
No. I mean, okay, fine. I won't fight you on that, but yeah.
Fair enough.
Ready Player One should have been better. And Chris, this is a big one. It made us a few dollars in its run. The Super Mario Brothers movie by director Aaron Horvath plus three others. Chris Pratt, Anya Taylor-Joy, Charlie Day, Jack Black, John DiMaggio, Keegan-Michael Key, Seth Rogen, to name a few, 2023.
I just want to take this time to talk about one of the greatest acting talents of our generation. Chris Pratt is fantastic as Mario. I think the perfect choice. I don't think anyone could have done it better than him.
Honestly, I don't think he's ever been in a movie that's been bad.
I mean, that's actually true. Perfect. Yeah, he's spectacular in everything he's in.
Yeah, he's so, all right.
He is the obvious choice as Mario, I think. And
I mean, he's Hollywood's greatest leading man. Let's just be honest.
He really is. He just looks damn good doing it too. You know what
fucking
I mean?
Handsome.
Jesus. Every time. But I mean, you know,
man could do no wrong.
Chris Pratt aside, like even without Chris Pratt, this movie is successful. I think it's good. This is, you know, you can point to this thing making over $1 billion, and it wasn't even a fantastic movie. It was good. It was fun. It was what it needed to be. It wasn't spectacular, but still pulled in over $1 billion. So like, it just shows that, you know, if you do the right, if you pick the right stuff and you have the right people behind it, you can make a video game movie that's successful. Sonic's done it, you know, a couple times now. You just talked about Ready Player One, which was a successful movie.
Financially, it was successful.
Yeah. And then, you know, then you have Mario. There's just so many things now we can point to. And this movie's fun. It's one of those things where if you haven't seen it for some reason, if you got kids, watch this movie. It hits all the points you want it to, nostalgia's sake. It's fun for kids that don't even play Mario games like my kids. So it's like, you know, there's a lot there for everybody. It's a family movie. It's a lot of fun. I love the Mario film. Whenever my youngest, because she's the biggest fan of it, wants to put it on, I'm never going to argue. It's just, it's easy to watch.
I can't believe it's been a year.
I know. Like, I know, crazy, right?
Yeah. Over a year now.
And also, I would like to note, you know, 3 years ago when I announced this, I said it was going to be a gigantic movie.
Of course.
Scoffed at by people on this speaking into a microphone nearby.
Here's the thing.
Headset.
Here's the thing about that is I agree with some of what you said, Chris, and I've been thinking a lot about this. Didn't it? Wasn't it just
about
revealed
the Chris Pratt stuff? Yeah, yes.
No, hilarious. Wasn't it just? I think I just saw somewhere that Illumination isn't doing the sequel.
I believe it.
I don't know where I'm positive I saw that this week somewhere.
Let go of that.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't like if you told me business decision wise, like if they decided not to do the next one because maybe, like, you know, they don't think they've seen the script for the second one or whatever gets away. I'm in the world of the business side of movies. I'm not surprised by anything anymore because it's never about the right thing, right? Like, we get lucky when Dune happens. We get lucky when the Mario movie happens. We get lucky when these things come together and, you know, go beyond what the business side of movies wants. We don't get that as much anymore. So when you tell me,
I will tell you straight up that rumor's definitely false.
Yeah, I just googled it. I don't know. I
the
don't know why
that
I heard
I
that.
Work
but,
for
yeah.
owns that company.
Well, I didn't know why. I definitely false. Saw something about
yeah.
that.
But I mean, but regardless, what I've said is still true.
Shareholders got saved, brother. That's me.
What I'm saying is still true. Like, I'm not surprised when any of these decisions happen. It sometimes it's disappointing. Sometimes it's intriguing. But in the end, you know, we get lucky when we get the good when we get the really spectacular films now. And, you know, I'm.
But isn't that weird? Isn't that weird to say? That just seems weird to me that we get lucky to get good movies. Like, it just seems weird.
Well, the thing with Mario, and, you know, we can move past it here in a second. The thing with Mario, like, Mario was the definition of a fun family movie.
Yeah.
Like, it was perfect. Now, like, look, Mario as a singular straight line story really wasn't that strong, but it didn't have to be. Mm-hmm. No one expected it to be. Like, look, if somebody would come out and be like, bro, that Oscar or that Super Mario Bros. Movie, animation Oscar, guaranteed. I'd been like, what the fuck? I mean, because, like, look, I know the caliber of things it has to take to get nominated. Yeah. You know, like, you know, I harp on Spider-Verse all the time, a movie that I love dearly. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man and Super Mario are two completely different types of movie.
Yeah.
And I don't want my Mario movie to be like deeply serious and like that. I want more like I want them jumping on fucking turtles and racing down Rainbow Road and like that's what I want.
Yep.
And it's what makes it fun.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, I guess another thing to point out, the Mario movie wasn't even like done with all canon stuff. You know, you have like Mario's family, which that's not even a thing, but they put it in there
to
make the movie kind of like happen and make sense in the best way they could to get him to, you know, the Mushroom Kingdom. Somehow.
His name is Luigi Mario. His name is Mario Mario.
Yep.
What the fuck?
It is what it is, man. But it's it's those things to point out that it's like, oh yeah, I guess, you know, yeah, they don't really live in New York, do they? No, but like, by movie canon, now they do. You know, it's funny to see that happen and it still be, you know, a fun movie because that's what matters.
I don't disagree with you, and I feel like that's going to be like, this is, I also feel like we're in the weird transition period where like superhero stuff's on the way out and like video game adaptions are going to be the next 15 years of cinema. So, at least
we can do a little bit less on superhero, just make them better.
Yeah.
And then you can do less of them and it still is impactful.
God, please, can we
treating just them like a machinery cog that prints you money and treat them like what they were at the beginning.
Because that machine no longer prints money, as we've noticed. Like, it doesn't. The budgets are super.
No, movie money still goes.
No. That machine can still print money. They're just
not
treating the machine correctly to make it
have
it make money.
The machine still works.
Yeah.
They just got to put the right stuff to go through the machine.
Sure, but that can be said. That's a blanket statement that can be said for anything. The reason.
Yes.
So I'm saying is the reason the superhero movies aren't making money right now is a lot of because the budgets are like well over 200 and they're barely bringing in $3 or $350. So, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know,
it's almost a loss. Again, they're not. Imagine you went to an arcade, right? And you're gonna play Time Crisis, okay?
Or which one?
4.
Okay.
Okay. So you're gonna play Time Crisis, and you have $800 with you, and you put all $800 into Time Crisis. just because you put $800 in Time Crisis doesn't mean you're going to get through that. Doesn't mean it's going to work right. They're putting too much money into the machine and not working to get that money back out of it. They're expecting to put that money into the machine and get what they want out of it without having to work.
That's a super weird analogy, but thank you for that.
Because I understand
what he means, though.
Yeah,
like,
imagine
you put as much money into it as one doesn't mean you're playing the game.
Hold on. Okay. Imagine you put $800 into it, and then you just walk away at one point and don't come back. You don't get that money back. That's what's happening with you can't go get a refund. Yeah, it's like it's done. Your money's in the machine. Use your credits.
I don't agree with. It's not just that they're not well made anymore. It's just that they're not even making. They're not. The story is no longer the important part, and that's the problem.
That's one of the massive problems. Called the Tesla Cybertruck.
I've seen several of those. By the way,
that relates to the movie industry more than you could ever actually imagine.
I've seen several of those. Like it's very strange. To be next to one of those things on the highway is like being next to a fucking tank. It's very strange. Anyway, the tank barely runs. We've been talking along in the tooth about this, let's move on. So those are all available if you subscribe to Netflix. Mine, Ready Player One, and the Super Mario Bros. Movie. Let's talk about some trailers really quick. Let's talk about Hard Miles with Matthew Modine, Sean Astin is a feature. I have a feeling this one appeals to me more than it does to you guys, but tell me what you think. And the next one, Turtles All the Way Down. But let's talk about Hard Miles for 1 second. What do we think about this one?
You know, we're past due for a cycling film.
Yeah, I mean, this is... Are we? Didn't we just watch a kind of pseudo-cycling film with Arthur the King?
Okay, sort of. But you know what? The only movie this really reminds me of, slightly everyone, remember McFarlane USA?
Yeah, of course.
With Kevin Costner
and the team, the lacrosse team. Or cross-country team, yeah.
It's the same thing. Same movie, same concept.
Yeah, although those kids weren't like troubled youths. They were just...
Nah, I mean, some of them were.
Fine, some, but it's a very different. But I mean, I've always been a fan of Sean Astin, of course, with Lord of the Rings, and I want to see what he can do with...
Is he getting smaller?
Matthew Modine. He's just getting older. I don't know.
It goes hand in hand.
Like, he's becoming a hobbit.
He's becoming a hobbit. It's actually pretty funny. What do you guys
Everything
think about
I say is hilarious.
Yes or no? Thumbs up, thumbs down for Hard Miles.
Here's the thing. I am completely indifferent on this movie.
Yeah.
Like, okay. To the point where I understand I'll probably never have to watch it, but if I were to have to watch it, I assume it's probably okay.
Yeah, it's probably fine.
Like, look, that's not a knock. It's probably a solid 5.5.
It's interesting you brought that up, Chris, because Arthur the King was one for me that I'm like, I don't know what to think about it. And then I watched it, and I was like, this is actually pretty good.
I liked Arthur the King.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like, I have a feeling...
Semi-inspirational. Look, fucking dogs, man, they'll get you.
Yeah.
It will.
Dog movies, man.
I have a feeling that Hard Miles is somewhat the same. It's just one of those movies that's it's very good all the way through. It's not great, but it's a solid... You know, decent quality bar all the way through. That's what I think we're looking for.
I liked it when they talked about the Gooch Lube. That was funny.
Gooch Lube.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, we'll make a transition to Turtles All the Way Down with Isabella Merced, Hannah Marks, and Felix Mallard. It's a feature. I'm the only one on this podcast who's excited for this. I can guarantee
you. Yes,
you
are.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I knew it. Isabella Merced is just a big deal. I don't think she's like A-list by any means, but she's somewhat of a decent. She's very well known and she's somewhat big. So I think a movie like that just demands to be looked at least. But a movie like this, I don't know how to feel about this because a lot of teenagers these days, they do have these problems of, you know, incredible anxiety. And it's, you know, I've read all these papers.
Teenagers.
Wait, yeah, what? Just teenagers.
Just teenagers.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but high school is a weird time.
Early 40s.
Yeah, well, sure. Late 30s, early 40s.
Like yeah. Yeah. And have a podcast to talk about movies every Sunday.
But I always appreciate, and I talk about this, we talk about like superheroes in high school and like why I love superheroes in high school. It's just because you're adding all the normal pressures of that also with, you know, being a hero and having powers. But also just, I like this time to tell stories because people just have so much going on in a young person's life and everything in a young person's life is so immediate. Every relationship is, I'm going to marry this person. Every breakup is, I want to be dead. You know, it's just everything is so immediate in that time of your life that there's something special about that I always harken back to. And I always look forward to these type of films. I don't know if you guys share that same kind of thought process, but I just kind of want to go to high school. And I really enjoyed my time in high school. So
this movie would never be on my radar. But to talk about something that you did bring up, the story of a young superhero, what we should be talking about is the second season of Invincible that finished up on Friday. Mm-hmm. Because it's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. It's better than anything we've watched in the last, I don't know, 12 months. That's not a joke either.
No, it's something that I will end up watching. So
all tens, baby.
Oh yeah.
All well, tens. We loved the first season. We thought that was a humdinger. So
I will assure you, tootin'. If you like the first one, you will love the second
one. I'm gonna have to rewatch the first season to watch the second season, though. It's been such a long time.
Probably don't need to because I actually give a really nice recap.
Okay.
So
gotcha.
Just
all right, quickly.
Good to know.
Chief of Station with Aaron Eckhart, Olga Kurylenko, and Alex Pettifer. I don't really know what to think about this.
So first off, I do want to say that Aaron Eckhart hasn't aged in 20 years. Mm-hmm. He's looked the same since Thank You for Smoking.
Yep.
Which is incredible longevity for him, by the way. Mm-hmm. And also, like, good, look, he strikes me as like an aging agent that I could actually believe would still kick somebody's ass.
Yeah.
Not like Liam Neeson has now become like a husk of a human being. You know, like, look.
Shots fired. As Liam Neeson wipes his ass with $100 bill. Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking smoking cigarettes off that $100. Lit it on fire. But yeah, I mean, like, look, we've seen this movie 100 times. Right?
Yeah.
It said this one's about who killed his wife. All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
An agent who, well, I think something was fishy.
You killed his dog or you kidnapped his fucking kids.
Yep.
Like, there are three genres here.
Yeah, I don't know. Like it looks like we've seen it before. It's I told you when we watched the trailer. It's just like that 6 pounds of pressure movie or whatever it was. 8 pounds of pressure.
Oh yeah. Who was it? Frank Grillo was that? Like,
yeah, but it's like we've seen this before, right? Like, I don't see anything here that's like, oh, this one looks like it's gonna be different. You know, it's just
nope.
Whatever.
This is generic.
Somebody did stab a laptop though.
Yeah, I mean, this is generic 2003 movie, dot movie. It's just. It looks to me like it's just someone just pulled out of a time vault from 2004.
You want to make a joke about a movie an AI could have wrote?
Yeah.
That's true. That is very true.
We should get AI to write us a movie.
I mean,
I don't understand, and I'm going to say, I don't understand why people aren't using...
It'd be the greatest B episode we
ever. I don't understand why people right now aren't just using ChatGTP every night to just write a script and then send it in. Eventually, the studio will buy one off you, because eventually one of them will be good enough to at least... We'll like your idea. Here's $5,000.
No, because you actually have to do work, because there's an actual like screening program to like tell you if something was AI generated still. So until you can get
it. So what if you take one from ChatGPT?
Then you edit it. And,
Yeah. But then you run it through. You take that script and send it to another AI and be like, make this better. Like, drill down.
Yeah, maybe. So, but you have to go up in quality though, right? So you got to start with like Google Gemini. Have it make you a funky ass script, then send it through.
Who's the alpha AI right now?
Right, it's probably still ChatGPT. Okay. Honestly, for text based generation,
Gemini, then to Copilot,
and then then you take it to GPT at the end. Yeah,
it's just crazy to me that no one's doing that. I would, if I was, I would just.
Maybe we should start.
Yeah,
start spamming the studios with just every day. As long as you have access to a printer, and
you think it'd be better or worse than Meet Time?
Oh, it'd be better. Has to be better.
Look, Me Time was bad. Me Time was bad. Anyway, so okay. Those are trailers available to watch on our social media. Hard Miles, Turtles All the Way Down, and Chief of Station. Let's move into the movie of the week. We've been talking for a while about other things. Let's talk about
this episode Monkey Man. Unhinged already.
Already unhinged. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Monkey Man. Now, Chris, I would like you to join.
Chris, how was your viewing of Monkey Man this week?
There was a lot of Nick Offerman in your version of Monkey Man.
Yeah, it was weird. Like,
was Kristen Dunst there?
She was. I didn't know she was going to make an appearance in it. She was in there for a long time, though.
A lot
though.
More white people in that movie than you would have thought.
Super confused. A lot more American than I thought, too.
You must have seen the director's cut.
Yeah. I figure, in all seriousness, I saw the wrong movie. I saw Civil War. I think Civil War's version.
The right movie, the wrong week.
Civil War's version of America, of the United States, the apocalyptic version, it's probably much like India is now, so it's probably pretty close, you know what I mean? So it'd be fair. Fine.
I mean, I guess I'll find out next week.
Yeah, right, yeah. Son of a bitch. So yeah, so I watched the wrong movie, but it is what it is.
Well,
I'm just a head.
Just a husk of a head. Like, you know that Liam Neeson husk. All right, so Roger.
You are a husk of a head, Chris.
Let's do some particulars. Monkey Man on Rotten Tomatoes, 89% on the tomato meter and 84% for the audience score.
Yes.
I think that's probably a smidge high. but it's not too far off from what I think is reality. And the Metacritic is a 70. So that's a very good score, I think, for any movie to have a 70 on Metacritic.
What's Challengers have on Metacritic right now?
I look.
Fucking 90.
A 90?
You understand how high that is for a movie?
Before I had 89.
Not on Metacritic.
Yeah, it did.
Was it on Metacritic?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was Rotten Tomatoes.
For the record,
Booksmart is a movie that I will never admit is as good as people think it is, but I do think it's a good, it's a well-written, well-paced film. I just don't think it's, okay. I don't think it's a 10. I don't think it's
84. I stand corrected, but still. Anyway, Monkey Man.
Monkey Man. Dev Patel, directed by Dev Patel. With
Dev Patel.
Here's the thing. It's written by him and John Coley and Paul Anguilla. Sorry if I mispronounced that. And the director of photography is a Sharon Meir, and I imagine that they are friends of Dev Patel because he is absolutely the creative force behind this. And one thing that I can tell you is I think it feels like that too. And I, Roger, maybe you can have a go on this in a minute, but it feels like when I was watching this movie, it felt like something that had been rattling around in his head for a while, that he really wanted to get this out, and he finally made it happen.
Well, I mean, doesn't Dev Patel only do what Dev Patel wants to do?
Oh, yeah, but for a long time he was kind of in the Hollywood machine for a few years. Remember, he was in the Lion, and I really, really appreciate Lion. And wasn't he? Well, he's Slumdog.
He's Slumdog. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But who did he do that awful M. Night Shyamalan? Was he in that too?
Shyamalan.
Avatar.
Old. He's in old.
Yeah. The Last Airbender. Wasn't he in The Last Airbender as well?
No, I've never seen that movie. He's in old, though, for sure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if he's in. Is he in
I'll old? Look it up. You guys keep talking.
But anyway, he was definitely in the M. Night Shyamalan, the Last Airbender, which was awful. But...
Yeah, I mean, the last movie I remember him starring in is Green Knight.
Oh, Green Knight,
which
yes.
Which is something that you guys liked. Mm-hmm. I never saw.
Saw that. Lion was my choice for that year. It was, God, I love that movie with him and Nicole Kidman. David Wenham is. I thought Lion was spectacular that year, and Mara Rooney.
See here, David Dell's done a couple shorts recently in between Green Knight and Monkey Man, and before Green Knight, it was just like a TV series, a weird biopic thing. I lost my body. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's like he's got a very
he does weird stuff.
Odd list of
so,
things.
He's selective in what he does. He doesn't do a lot.
Chappie is probably the biggest one before Green Knight.
What was it?
Chappie, actually.
Oh, Chap. You mean from all those years ago?
Not 2015. Yeah. Holy Everyone crap. Else is all like, right, fair enough. You know, things like Lion, Hotel Mumbai.
Well Lion was nominated for Best Picture, so that's not a small thing.
Yeah.
I think that's
most people don't know what Lion is.
Yeah, sure, fine. Yeah,
but it's also I think more.
Remember that movie is made of.
It's on Netflix.
Apparently
right now.
It's on Netflix.
I think it's important to announce that Jordan Peele is a big deal in this too. He's the executive producer.
Okay, so hey, before we start on Monkey Man, I do want to run through something that I think is an incredible story. Do you guys know that Netflix used to own Monkey Man?
Yeah, yes, I did know
and
this.
And now they don't?
Yep. Yeah, because Peele was like, no, this should be in a theater.
So, yeah. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, so Netflix bought the original distribution rights mm-hmm. to Monkey Man with Jordan Peele was the executive producer, mm-hmm. okay? Jordan Peele was like, hey, how about you don't do that, mm-hmm. and I'll buy it back from you. And he did, and then he sold it to Universal. So, because he didn't want them to, for it to just be thrown onto their stuff, he wanted it to get out the way theatrically. So, so just remember, anytime somebody doesn't know something is streaming only, they can do some stuff about it.
Yeah.
Some. You know, looking at you, Doug Liman.
2 weeks ago, we talked about that. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. So that's the thing is, I think it's very important.
I think it's a wild story, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but it's Monkey Man is the I think that it's safe to say this is a much better first experience theatrically than on your TV at home. 100%. There's no denying that.
Sure, but I would like to make a statement, though. Like, look, if this was a Netflix movie and we still got the same kind of trailer, like I might have been excited to watch a Netflix movie for the first time in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, like, look, we've seen them cut a hell of a trailer with things like Extraction and that.
Yeah.
Like, they can do it. It's like, you know, technically it's not a Netflix original, but if they're the ones that own it and put it out, there's no difference in everybody's mind. Like, it's just wild to me that they're like, no, okay, we'll sell it back to you. You know, like, mm-hmm. I guess I get it because they want to have a relationship with Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
But it's that's a weird choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would agree with you. It's odd. Movie politics are very odd sometimes, and how those.
It's also a strange discussion. Is like, if this would have been on Netflix, is there a chance that we would have skipped it? And like, there's a real chance of that.
No,
listen, right, if something else comes out on Netflix at the same time, mm-hmm. that looks, sounds like it's going to be a big deal. At the same time, Monkey Man does, and we've already got a theatrical that week. We might not watch Monkey Man and talk about it.
You know, I might have watched Irish Whiz starring Lindsay Lohan.
Jesus Christ. but like it's like,
I have seen that. Know. It is everything you think it would be.
Yeah. So, you know. But like, so like, you know,
can we talk about that for 5 minutes?
we may skip Monkey Man, or also that might, does that change the way we like see the movie and score the movie too? Because like, it's like now it's a Netflix movie.
You're asking great questions, so, Chris, and we talk about this all the time.
I know.
Those are great questions.
I know. I'm full of them.
That's a maybe.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Like, legitimately, if like, I mean, because like, look, I think Monkey Man is a pretty good movie, and I'm going to give it a pretty decent score anyway. Yeah. But like, this would be a movie, like, if this was come out and like this was Netflix, I'd be like, hell yeah, Netflix, finally you did something
good job.
Right.
This is great.
Good job, you know, man. Hell yeah, brother.
Back to Extraction quality. Rah! Yeah, yeah, no, I hear you.
But again, though, that's just part of the machine of here's one good one, here's 99 failures.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I agree with that.
Like, look, Netflix can make winners. Yeah. Now, look, they didn't make this movie. No. Though, so they just owned it for an amount of time.
A hot minute.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's talk about Monkey Man.
I wonder how different the cut would have been too. How different the edit? Because it's not a short. It's got some length to it.
Yeah, it's 2+.
It probably would have been longer if it was on Netflix. Keep that in mind.
True.
No, I think it would have been shorter. I think it would have been shorter.
No, so here's the thing: Netflix movies, they tend to be a little bit longer because they don't have to account for the theater experience of sitting through 20 minutes of previews.
Yeah, I mean, we said, well, how many times have we said that, you know, it's Netflix, so it's long. You know what I mean? That's kind of like.
Aren't you guys super pumped for Rebel Moon Part 2?
To be honest, I had no idea when I saw the running time on Society of Snow, I was like, what? And I didn't know.
That was fine to have that movie that long because, look, I've never been that depressed for that amount of time.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, Monkey Man, we'll talk about that.
Talk about my crippling depression.
Christ.
Well, here's the thing with Monkey Man is, of course,
rewind back to the anxiety talk for a while.
the thing that I think is wrong is I don't think this is the Indian John Wick. It is not.
I say the trailer cuts this movie as a balls out action movie, and like, look, I won't say at times that there is not real fun balls out action because there is. It's done very well, looks good, but the entire trailer is cut from like one run of action in this movie, pretty much, which is unfair to this movie. But
there's a lot of setup. There's a quite a bit of story setup here, and it is slower for, I guess, longer a period of time than I thought it would have been.
Yep.
There's a lot of time devoted to setting up the story with we see flashbacks. We're getting into the motivation of why he's doing what he's doing. There's a lot of time dedicated to that. And I'm grateful for that because
a detriment to this film.
No, I don't think so. And I love John Wick, but I think there's more story in this movie than there are in the three of the four John Wicks combined. It's just John Wick is just set up and go. You don't stop. This one takes a while to get where it's going, but when it gets to where it's going, it's very satisfying, and the combat is handled well. The choreography is excellent, and some of the things I saw, I never thought I'd see either.
I think you might have had a little bit of an issue with this movie, though.
Okay,
because there is a nice chunk of shaky cam in this.
Oh, God.
I love shaky cam.
So here's the thing: it's only for one scene, but like I watch it going, Chris is gonna hate this.
Oh,
because like at the one point, because it is a little bit disorienting.
Yeah,
almost so like. When we talked about Spaceman, you weren't here for that. Mm-hmm. I didn't bring this up during Spaceman. There were some times during Spaceman with, just speaking of camera for a second, where the camera is one way and everything's tilted another way. Like, it did not do it for me because I'm just like, my brain's like, hey, man, this doesn't look right. like, why the fuck are we doing this?
Yeah.
And there is a section of this movie that is straight, like, first person POV.
Okay.
And it gets a lot of shaky cam. I think it's okay, but I don't think you would have liked it.
No, I'm never a fan of shaky cam. I think that belongs back in, like, between 2000 and 2010.
I mean, it really is disorienting.
There. Yeah. So
I think the shaky cam does, well, depending on how you use it, it does a lot to really kind of heighten some moments. It really can.
Speaking of shaky cam, do you know they're rebooting Blair Witch?
Wait, didn't... Wasn't
is
the
kind of shaky cam, or is that just because it's found footage, though? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with Chris.
Those can be the same thing.
Yeah, true. Yeah, shaky found footage cam.
That's right.
Shaky found footage cam. Okay, so back to Monkey Man is... Why I appreciate a movie like this is it's nice to see someone like Dev Patel that's not only... Because going into this, you know that he was everywhere. He was in front of the camera, behind the camera. He was producing. He's literally doing everything. And that's, to me, that screams passion project. Number two, Dev Patel is also, I think, a very good young actor. Mm-hmm. I mean, I use the term young relatively loose here, but
young in quotations.
Young, but like he's a very good young actor at what he does. I've seen him in a number of things, always great. So that much I had going in. I knew I was gonna what I was in for. What I didn't know is
he's not old though, he's only 33.
Oh, it's not. I thought he would have been older than that, but so what I didn't know was how much time was gonna be devoted to setting up the character motivation, which I am pleasantly surprised. I can't say I think it works well for this movie because when this movie starts and gets going, I think that's when it really kind of kicks off. So there's a lot of time before that that you're left wondering what's going on here. When are we going to get to the action? Because you've seen the trailer, it's all action.
It's weird that most of the story happens at the halfway mark of the like three quarters of the story happens at the halfway mark of the movie, which is a weird way to say it. But if you ever watch this movie, you understand what I mean, because like some story, action sequence, story, action sequence, like that's how this movie falls.
Yeah.
So. But most of the majority of the story is told in that middle segment of the film. And it's okay. Like the story works, right? So this is a story we've seen before. You know, ultimately it is a redemption revenge story. Yeah. You know, short version of the story is when he was a young kid, his mom got killed, lots of people got killed, and you know, he singled out a person responsible for it. You know, his mom was burned alive, brutally, by the way. Because you know the fun way of being burned alive. Poor choice of words there. And you know this is him like learning to become a different type of person, learning to fight. You know, a large part of this movie is spent in like a street fight ring, like him becoming a more of a badass, especially in the second half of the movie, like when he is trained. And Dev Patel, definition of skinny ripped, because. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, look, dude's in pretty good shape.
All right.
And still only rocking that featherweight, though.
Yeah, well.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
But at one point when he returns back to the underground street fighting ring and just one-shot KOs somebody, you're just like, yes.
That's pretty awesome.
This guy steps up to hit him because like he'd fought him before.
Yeah.
He jumps and like spin kicks him right in the fucking face.
Jesus.
And he just flattens.
It's very sad. It's very satisfying.
It's like the whole crowd just gets silent. Like,
and just before I jump back, Kristen, because I want you to check this one out. There's also one of the also more interesting is he forces a knife into someone's neck and then uses his teeth because his hands are otherwise engaged to like then move the knife further in the person's body. It's very satisfying.
Listen, it gets very brutal.
Oh yeah, it's pretty gory, like hostile gory in the way that it's much more gory than John Wick's ever were. It's much more bloody, much more gory. But I mean, I'm okay with that.
At some point,
that.
You have to use a thumbprint scanner, and he removes somebody's thumb, which we've seen that happen
before. Oh, yeah.
Wait, has he ever removed it with a silver serving tray as he beats the corpse off the floor till the thumb pops off?
Jesus.
Yes.
All right.
He just picks it up and puts it in his pocket. Like, I'm going to save this for later. Thank you.
Yep. Like, I know I'll need this.
I may need
this. And this movie does fall into the category of, I know, Chris, you had mentioned this in some of the episodes prior, is when we were talking about the trailer, is do the henchmen just not use guns in this universe?
Yeah.
Like why do we not, what's going on here? Just shoot him. He will die like anybody else. But
they try to use the gun though.
They do the thing where they like he's in a room and they'll run in, they'll all surround him, but like then they'll start doing like kung fu instead of just fucking shoot him. But that's my problem, is like that's what kind of breaks the universe for me. Is you telling me one of these security guys doesn't have a fucking gun on them? Are you kidding me?
Movie's gotta happen though, so.
It starts very strong with his young, his mom telling a young version of who's called the kid, the story of the Monkey King and how he climbed so high and was able to obtain what he thought was a fruit, but it ended up being the sun, and then was punished by the gods. And I imagine that is heavily steeped in Asian and Indian lore quite a bit. Sure.
Sun Wukong.
That's the thing is also, Roger, I want to say, I'm glad you said something about this earlier, and I'm glad you did, is I actually really appreciate this movie is heavily steeped in Asian and Indian lore. Mm-hmm. Because it's just something I don't know about, but it's cool to learn about, I guess, through this kind of weird, it's to experience a different kind of a different side of the world culture. I thought that was very admirable, the way this movie is very heavily steeped in a culture that is not my own, nor do I know anything about it.
Indian culture in general, and you know, I'm not exactly the most qualified to talk about it, but very rarely do we see a lot of stuff that is primarily Indian focused hit the big screen. Now, listen, there are some very notable exceptions. Slumdog Millionaire being the biggest by far.
Lion?
But I mean, one of them. I mean, Lion is there, but the other part of it is too is just remember, India is so big and so populous, they have their own subculture of movie. You know what I mean?
Of course,
they
Bollywood.
They make their own thing. And so this is not a Bollywood film because, you know, they have a rap for being not the best things in the world and overly, you know, jokey, I guess, mm-hmm. is the way to look at it as compared to most film made across the world. But it is nice to see something that is focused in some place like Mumbai, you know, to come through and you see like what's going on there a little bit politically. Like how things are drawn and how things are shaking out there religiously as well, because that is a heavy focus in this movie.
Yeah.
And the way that the political machine is religiously motivated by, you know, some people in that sector of the world too, how important that is to their subculture. So
yeah, you guys are talking about like just Indian stuff, you know, of recent. Don't forget about RRR.
Oh right, and The Raid. Is that also part of that in kind of Asian culture?
Raid is Korean. Korea, Raid's Korean. Very good though. I think it's a shit. But no, but Ara is actually, I think that was 2022. That was like recent.
That was a big deal too. That was a huge deal. Yeah. But part of the setup here is the government wanted to take the lands away from the farmers, and the farmers said no. And the government just said,
"Okay." The government took the land.
Yeah,
and they just took the land by force.
Very peacefully.
Oh yeah, didn't burn anyone alive, right?
Nobody burned alive. Like everybody's just like, "Hey man, you got it. High fives on the way out."
It was the most. It was the most peaceful takeover.
Government was handing out big checks on the way out. Everyone was happy. No
fire. Good.
A slightly above market value.
Of course, you got to. You know, I mean, displacement. You know, it's you got to compensate.
You've been slightly inconvenienced, so I'll let me help you out, brother.
Yeah, that's did not happen like that.
And
that's the setup here is, but let's talk about the character that Dev Patel is playing is this. I think this is to me one of the make or break it of a movie like this is he able to sell the character he's playing? And I think the answer is he is able to do that. He's
I think so.
Very successful in that is we still, and what I love is he still has, even in the very beginning with the whole thing orchestrated with the stealing of that woman's wallet to then you see it go through the market and then people running it and then he gets it and then he gives it back to the woman hoping to get a job, looking like a hero, and then you see the burns on his hands from when he tried to put the fire out on his mother and he couldn't do it.
He tells her they're chemical burns from being a cleaner.
And that's the thing is, so it's a very simple setup, and he has been very focused on one thing, getting revenge on the person, on the police chief who allowed this to happen to not only his mother, but other people in that area that it was a close-knit community. And that's, I think the movie was successful in doing that. How this one person has been singly focused and getting a plan to kill everyone he can that was involved in that. What I like about the way you described to Chris earlier is we do get two action sequences here, both I think very good.
Yep.
We get a more of a reckless action sequence. This is during the events where we see him in the ring with the mask. Although
untrained, unfocused.
Although no action. One knows it's him, which I think is he never reveals who it is in the ring.
It does not.
Which I actually love. He's in the ring and he's not. He's very reckless, kind of unguided, unfocused, and he doesn't win because of that. But then the second half of the film, we see him go back in the ring and he is able to focus that training and really does, you know, make a short work of everyone in the ring. But what I like most about that is Dev Patel plays that character, I think, so well. That's one of the. There are a lot of problems with this movie, but I don't think Dev Patel, I don't think the character of the kid grown up is one of them.
No. No, it's good.
And I'm really kind of upset this movie's not doing better box office, because it is more deserving than just the paltry millions it's making. It's deserving of more. And I don't know if this ever gets a sequel, because it's just simply not making money, but it's better than that.
Monkey Man's a tough sell to a wide audience. Cause I mean, like, look, we've all seen John Wick, but I mean, all it takes is one review to be like, hey, this really isn't like John Wick. Be like, oh, well, then I don't really want to see that. But, and also, it's, you know, some of the political stuff that they deal with, you know, which is very relevant in modern society, especially in India and, well, somewhat in this country as well, about some displacement of some folks that aren't exactly seen religiously or politically as a desirable person. You know, that's something that a whole lot of people aren't super fans of. And, like, I will tell you, if you watch this movie, you'll be like, hell yeah, these people are awesome. Yeah. Because you know, they got a bunch of knives and they like to stab people, and in this world, it works perfectly.
I mean, so. Monkey Man had a $10 million budget and it's made 22.
Yeah, so. No, it's successful.
Yep.
And the other part of it is too, like, look, this movie, I think when eventually it hits the Asian market, will probably make good money.
So oh yeah,
that is
yeah,
something that, right. that will matter. It will hit the Indian market.
Yeah,
it'll go there. It came here first, you know, because Jordan Peele said, "Hey, it should." But. I mean, Dev Patel is a marketable person. Like, he's an intelligent guy.
In both, in many markets, yeah.
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 Absolutely.
Yeah, so it did hit Asian markets this weekend.
Good. So we'll get a better idea.
Yeah, so it made $10 million in China alone.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, I'm glad it's... Okay, good.
Yeah.
So this is closer to, I think... I mean, How he is, I think this is probably closer to a Bourne kind of character than John Wick, although they're kind of, I think the idea here was to market it as a Wick, but I think the character is more of a, once he gets focused and he's able to train, is more of a Bourne character. What do you think, Roger? Less of
that's
a Wick?
That's probably more accurate.
Yeah.
A little bit more Bourne than John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, he's not pulling on his past. He's learning as he goes. That kind of
I think that's kind of important too. Kind of get in the headspace for this movie, given how it is so steeped in culture that not a lot of people over here are privy to and know a lot about. But I do like that we get a ton of, especially with the I forget the short guy that he becomes his friend, Vipin Sharma, is that Alpha?
Yeah,
Vipin Sharma. He's someone who's also been wronged by the same people, but he's so scared that he's working for them. And he's carved out a nice life for himself as long as he's obedient.
Yeah, but he's ingrained himself a little bit, yep.
But he falls in league with with the young Dev Patel as the kid, and it's an interesting pair that these two make. It's not a stupid, like, 90s buddy cop kind of duo either. It's a very real duo of, you know, one mistake from both of them and they're both dead. You know, it's a very real duo here that they do. And I really appreciated that as well. And there's a lot of hateful, hateable characters here too,
true.
Which I was very happy to see. There's always that wonderful thing of being satisfied when you see one of the people you fucking hated this entire movie finally get what's coming to them.
Yeah.
Always a moment of complete satisfaction when that happens too.
Yeah. I mean, this movie has the benefit of having the clear cut good guys and bad guys mm-hmm. thing. You know, there is no like in-betweener thing. You know, and ultimately, in most movies, the good guys, you know, you cheer for them to win. And then when they do, and when you see how bad the bad guys actually are, you're just like, Jesus Christ. So,
yeah,
but you know what? Everybody gets their comeuppance in this film.
All right.
Like, you know, somebody.
No, I think Pedo Bash, you know, I think, is Pedo Bash, I think, is the, is a smaller dude that becomes friend with the kid. I think that's his name, Peter Besh. Sorry if I...
How many times do you think you get stabbed before you died?
I mean, there's a lot of context that needs to go into that.
Just answer
the average person, maybe 1 to 3, but someone who's trained and with the body, with the discipline, probably more. I know that's a weird thing to say, but it is what it is. I don't...
Yeah, but you specifically.
Yeah. I mean, or you...
How many stabs would it take to kill me?
The question.
I got a lot in the way of the vital stuff, so I'm thinking,
you know,
9 to 11 probably.
One thing we have seen a lot recently, especially harkening back to Roadhouse, we see a lot of people get stabbed in approximately the same place.
Yeah,
you know, in the left side of their body.
Yep.
Just above the navel, the abdominal area right there, and everybody just sort of say like, "Well, I got stabbed again."
Yeah.
I guess it's a normal
stabbing
thing.
Doesn't seem like an issue at this point, if I believe,
like,
movies.
Ow.
Yeah.
God damn
Jesus,
you.
Jesus, this is inconvenient.
There's a lot of stabbing in this film, both fatal and non-fatal.
Yeah.
All right. But
some of the non-fatal
stabbings
I looked at and went, ugh.
Yeah. Some of the carnage reaped in this movie I hadn't seen before. And I was actually happy about that.
Gotcha.
There's some great carnage in this one, too. And I was really happy because I feel like after four Wick films and Bourne in the 2000s, 2010, like I feel like I've seen most of it. But they managed to come up with some new ways to kill people. And I thought that was very interesting, too.
It's always refreshing when we think of new ways to put people through a meat grinder.
People get burned with stoves. Like, you know, we don't see that a whole lot. You know, people hit with frying pans, shit like that.
As a classic.
Oh,
always. Did it have the sound? Did it have the sound?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, boing.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. And I do
thrown through a giant in the wall fish tank.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, as soon as you see a fish tank in a movie, you know that thing's broken.
Yeah, of course,
it is not surviving more than one time on screen.
Nope, nope, nope. And nice. I'd like to talk about Sharto Copley for 1 second, who plays his name is Tiger. He's the announcer in the ring, who's kind of in league with the people above him. Mm-hmm. I like the guy a lot. He plays Murdoch on the A team, and he was also in
he's the guy in District 9.
Yeah, District 9. That's it.
An alien.
Yep. He's good too, and he's very
chappy.
He's I think very undervalued in this because no one's mentioning him, but I think he's great, especially in something like this. It's kind of like right up his alley. I feel like as an actor, I was like, yeah, I love to do that role. That's kind of what I do anyway. So perfect.
He's like a carnival barker. It like works.
it really does work for him.
Yeah, it does.
There are a lot of. I wonder how this is doing over in like an Indian market.
Well, Chris, not yet.
We don't have any real numbers.
Yeah, so it isn't in India yet.
Because I was looking at some of these people on IMDb. Some of these people have a ton of credits to their name, and that's great. And I really think these people are very popular in those markets. We don't know them as well over here, but I imagine that they are quite popular in the markets overseas.
And I actually misread the information earlier. It has not hit China yet at all. It's only hit Asia Pacific so far.
Okay.
Specifically. So it's made 5 million international, 17 domestic, but it hasn't hit any of the
just getting started
of the Asia of the actually the Asia continent yet.
Has it hit Britain?
It has. So United Kingdom is its highest
Well, Dev Patel was actually British.
Yeah. So international totals, United Kingdom has pulled in 1 million for it. So it's its highest performer so far.
The UK is interesting.
Yeah, but again, it hasn't even hit the Asian market yet. It's only hit the Asia Pacific. So that's like Australia, New Zealand, Singapore.
Yep.
So one thing I wanted to talk about is the reliance on flashbacks. How did you feel about this, Roger? I don't know. It comes to a point where if you overuse it, it becomes kind of cumbersome.
Sure. I mean, the main point of the revenge story is told through flashbacks. But a lot of it takes place, you know, like while he's, you know, it's like this weird, like I'm healing montage, like I'm almost dead and I'm going through this, you know, basically the reminder of why you need to live thing. It was something we have seen before. We'll see again.
He had his Dark Knight Rises moment.
Not quite to that level, but similar to it, though. I mean, we've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, like he gets rescued and he probably should have died. Well, bullets are getting pulled out of him. Mm-hmm. You know, then you see him like, hey, I still got to do this. And, you know, it's not new, but it works. You know, when it's done right, it works. But I mean, look, we've also seen it done badly.
True.
But yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I don't think they overdo it. I think they give you enough flashback because like you need some of that story because you can't just be like, this guy killed my mom, blah, blah, blah. You know, they show it and like, look, they don't really pull any punches. They do show her getting burned and, you know, little 6 or 7 year old him trying to put her out, which is why his hands are all burned up. And I think it works. I don't really have a problem with much of the stuff in Monkey Man. Mm. It's just not quite the movie that they market it to be. That's the only downfall. And they're like, look, that's on me for buying a trailer the way.
Listen.
Remember, I've said 1,000 times, bad trailer, bad movie. This is a good trailer with a different movie behind it. And like, congrats to them because whoever cut this trailer, there should be a fucking Oscar for that.
Yep.
Deserve what you get, my man.
I don't know about that. You read into exactly what the trailer was. It's not like you misread the trailer.
Hold on. But the trailer can misrepresent what the movie is.
Sure. And we've seen that a couple of times.
Yeah. So like it's one thing to buy into the trailer, you know, but at the same time, the trailer also doesn't sell a movie that really has a very long lull in between two pieces.
Sure, sure.
It sells it as, you know, it sells you the mostly two scenes.
And I can, I mean, like, it's someone who's sitting in the, whose job it is to, or working on marketing this is like, okay, we have a good movie. It's kind of like John Wick. Do we market it like John Wick? Yes, someone says yes, so cut the trailer just like that. Or do we show more of the story, the revenge with the myth of the Monkey King and how that all came to be, and then we show, you know, parts of Dev Patel's character, the kid, rise and fall to parallel that, and like, no, don't do that. No one cares about that. Everyone cares about John Wick. No. So I can see why they chose the way what they did.
There's nothing wrong with what they did.
No.
It comes down to the whole, you know, you can make whatever choices you want. You have to be okay with the repercussions of those choices. Some people are going to say, man, this movie was not what the trailer, you know, sold you on. So, like, that has to be a piece of discussion that you were okay with when you sold a certain, you know, feel and vibe in your trailer. That's just all there is to that.
And here's the thing. Critically and audience-wise scores, they're still okay with it.
They're still positive.
That's a good thing. Yeah. And, like, I very much am as well. Like, I dig this movie. Like, I think the story that it tells is more than just, like, I'm going to beat up people through this hotel or club or whatever it is. You know, which, look, I've watched Brawl on Cell Block 99. Like, I've seen somebody kick ass through a whole prison. Like, it fucking rules. But, like, that's not this movie.
I need to watch The Raid again.
Yeah, me too. I've seen that in a while. It's been a minute, but it's very good. It's very good. Roger, let's talk about. Let's talk about a few more things, if we could. What would you have changed in Monkey Man if you could? I know what I would have changed. What about you?
So I would have cut out the shaking cam part, which I did mention. I probably would have made it about 15 minutes shorter, as well. And the one part that I didn't really understand here, and I don't think it's a negative, but it's something that I don't think brings much value to this movie, is this weird little relationship thing he has with the one girl that works there, the one prostitute working there, where it seems like they may have a thing, but they don't really have a thing, and then you don't see anything else about it besides him helping her get out. You know what I mean?
So I think that's more a reference to, it's just, his people lived like slaves to richer people, and that girl is living like a slave to rich assholes.
I kind of got the idea that maybe she's like from the same area that he's from. So
yeah, because there's like different type of like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. So yeah, there could have been
like a kinship thing.
I didn't think there was a real, I thought it was more like a, they see each other in themselves.
Sure. And that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah. That's how I took it. And I mean, because with the scene that he kind of, he's a dishwasher, he's walking by and he, you know, we see him looking through the crack in the door of how that one woman's like yelling at a younger, what is probably a prostitute about, you know, you got to be more careful. It's like, and then she said like, we'll take care of it tomorrow, or like, we'll take care of it Monday. I assume it's because that girl is now pregnant. And they have to take care of the baby, or she's not going to be desirable by the men. You know, like, I assume that was the reason for that. So,
definitely.
So, I mean, that's the problem, is like, she's in that life where like, he just is someone that's just someone that he knows the struggles of, and it's just subjecting her to more and more shit.
Yeah. So, this makes it harder. But yeah. I mean, like, there's definitely a, you know, kinship kind of thing there.
Sure. I could see changing that a little bit, or maybe going, do you think going further into it or not at all? Like, they had to choose one way or the other, and
in all honesty,
just get rid of it.
I'd probably just cut it out, because like, I don't think it brings much value to me. Like, it doesn't hurt it, but it's just one of the things that just kind of exists, you know?
Well, same with the dog. We never return to the dog.
Yeah. Like, look, I always love a good dog story,
but like, we don't come back to the dog, and the dog is pretty instrumental in helping him do what he needs to do.
Sure. The dog is helpful.
And we didn't come back to, however, the ending is, I don't want to use the word like masterful, but boy, I love that. The last like 30 seconds, especially. I just love that last.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Oh, it's very well done. It's it leaves a lot to be talked about, and like, that's a conversation starter for people, is, you know, like, what happens next? Like, what did happen? That's a conversation starter. I like to think, I mean, look, I know what you know. I know that you know what I think happened is there may not be a room for a sequel because the main character is no longer, you know, there. But but you could interpret it a different way. How did you interpret that?
You ever try to kill the Pope? That's kind of how I look at this, is what kind of happens here, right?
I mean, we thought the same thing about Extraction, too, didn't we? You know what I mean? You know, Extraction ends a certain way. You're like, man, that dude's dead as fuck. And then, you know, a year and a half later, just remember, holy shit,
they're not really dead until they're actually
exactly.
dead.
Exactly. Fair. There's... Yeah, I thought the ending was great too. I thought the ending was one of the better parts of this film, especially how he deals with that guy and like the
well, yeah, thing. I mean, it's like, yeah. Look, he gets his revenge by, you know, killing the person that killed his mother, and then, you know, he realizes he's not the top of the food chain. So guess what? Sometimes you got to kill your way up the food chain.
Got more to do.
That's right. And look, maybe the food chain had you kill a religious leader. And look, okay, sometimes that happens, I guess. So that's why the word martyr exists, by the way.
Yeah, sure, I totally understand that. Is there room for let's say this thing catches fire overseas and in other markets, is there room for a sequel here?
I think there would be, but I mean, I'd be interested to see what kind of story twist that they would take, you know, what direction.
I feel like it all depends on Dave Patel, right? This is his baby, so yeah. It's like he has more story to tell for this character,
yeah,
you know, then yes, but you know, without more from him, he might be like, no, you know what I mean? Or he might sell the rights to someone and then they make, you know, the next piece of this or whatever.
Well, I mean, selfishly, like, would I like to see more of a story like Bunker Man? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Now, do I ever expect a sequel to this movie? No, I do not. Yeah. So that's just my
personal feelings. Dave Patel's not exactly busy, like too busy at the moment. Dev, you know what I mean?
Dev Patel. He's got to want to do it though. Yeah, you know, that's true, a whole different thing.
I'm sure he'll be busy after this.
I mean, I'm not doing shit. You know, if he wants to call
me, give us a call. You know what I mean? Shit.
I'll run it through.
I'm sure he'll be in. I'm sure he'll be in somewhat of a demand after this, especially with Jordan Peele. Maybe is.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, you have to have some sort of a relationship. So.
I'm saying Peele put his back.
He's not a bad
this.
Guy to, you know, hitch your wagon to either. By the way,
that's what
especially,
I'm saying.
Especially the movie industry at the moment.
Yes,
I'm saying is Peele must really. They must be boys in real life, or like they're at least close, or they talk a lot. Because like for Jordan Peele to like. Almost rescue this movie from whatever death Netflix would have given it.
Yeah.
That's a big deal, I think. And I don't say that lightly, nor do I say it as a joke. Movies come out all the time, and they're just buried on Netflix, gone the next week, lost to their own algorithm, and it's their own fault. Or maybe they want it that way. I don't know, because I don't know how that could happen for so many. I don't know how that could happen for so long after something with hundreds and hundreds of and billions of dollars into and not fix it. But that's just my thinking, is maybe they want it like that. Maybe that's what they want. I have no idea. Hmm. You guys have any thoughts on that before you?
No, not really. We've talked about Netflix enough.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they must have some kind of relationship that it's maybe they're going to do some more stuff. And look, I'm all for it because Peele's a hell of a director. He's also a hell of a producer. So, and now we see what Dev Patel could do with the money behind it, with some passion. He can make a good movie with excellent choreograph, with all kinds of great elements put together. It can make a good movie.
Yeah, absolutely, can.
That's what I just want to see more of that stuff. So
I mean, it's also like I want to see more good movies. Weird, like, yeah. Yeah, it's weird how that works out. So strange.
It used to be different. It used to be the majority of the movies were somewhere in the middle or upper tier. Now it's just the complete opposite of that.
So here's I'm gonna talk about that for 30 seconds if we could. I don't know if that's accurate, right? And I know like we're a bit of an aberration here because we do watch so much stuff. But for most people, when they watch a movie, they automatically most of the time attribute to it as a good movie. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is I'm not saying that they're uneducated, but hear me out for a second. It's when you only watch a little bit, you can't fathom that what you just spent 2 hours of your time doing is overly a bad movie. Most people won't do that because like, well, I just kind of clowned on myself. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to watch it. And they'll be like, well, I took the time to do it. It must be good. You know, or the other side of it is just because you like it doesn't mean it's actually a good movie either. Because, like, look, we all like plenty of bad movies.
Sure.
But now the things come out in such a volume, it's like, I don't even consider 3/4 of the stuff that comes out because I do the eyeball test and go, oh, well, who's in that? What's it about? And who made it? And if those three things don't line up almost perfectly, especially on a streaming platform, not even on the fucking radar.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, whenever you are in the realm of like movie hobbyist or like, you know, higher than that, you're in the minority of the people that are doing the thing you're doing.
Severe minority.
So, you know, people that are thinking about movies on on like, you know, the same level as we are, or even higher, you know, or even a little bit lower, again, in the minority, there's an average person in the United States, there's an average person worldwide, which means there is a below average as well.
Sure.
You know, along with an above average. So like, the amount of time and energy and thought that is going into a movie for us is like what we do, but like average people don't, you know, they see something they think is interesting, and there's a reason why they think it's interesting, and they go to watch it. You know, it statistics say, you know, most of those people are just going to enjoy it. Yep. And that's just how that goes. It's all numbers, right?
Well, there's a reason why Transformers made like $5 billion. That's the perfect example, yeah. I think, for a dumb movie that people just like to go watch.
And to compare that to like, to bring back to like Grayson's question was like, you know, like times of yore and now, there was also less information highways back then, right? So it's like, it's, you know, it was strictly word of mouth, or you saw something, you went and saw it, and you never heard the positives or negatives.
Yep.
You know, you saw just like, you know number one in America, yep, you know, for like 10 seconds on in a commercial.
Well, think about it, just 20 years ago, how would you go to check a movie review?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You have to have a TV guide or some other thing to see.
I mean,
you
know, legitimately, kind of like, you're watching like the Siskel and Ebert show that's on at 11:30 on Sunday night to see what movie just came out and whether it's good or bad.
Listen to what, like, Howard Stern
that
says.
That sounds
about a movie
so
he
fucking
saw,
archaic in my mind to be like, I had to stay up and watch some pre-recorded syndicated fucking movie review show.
Yeah. Hold on, it's way different.
I think the answer is much more simple, Roger, though I think you said it just in a different way of people mistake enjoyment for a movie with quality way too much. I mean, I made that mistake. You made that mistake. We've all made that mistake. I do it a lot. But I also – the reason I think – this is, you know, a little inside baseball for me and for you and for Chris is the reason I think that – the reason we've been talking about what we're going to do next as far as the show is concerned, because like I think we have a different way to look at movies than most people. I think I have a different way to look at movies than most people. And if you look at something you just said, Chris, about, you know, the days of yore, is all that could be opinion about, you know, well, movies are subjective. I get that part of it. But what's not, which I don't think is arguable, is there were absolutely movies, most film, 90% of the stuff that came out up to 2003 or 2004 had a lot more thought put behind the characters, the plot, the certain arcs, what had to be cut, what shouldn't have been cut. There was a lot more care to it than it was given. It's the reason why a movie like Dragonheart is so impactful to me, you know, 20 years after I originally saw it, 30 years after I saw it, I still remember it because there's thought that went into it. Movies today, I say this as broadly, Netflix is a big infringer of this. There's just no thought put into it. They just want to have a product for people to watch because they know, and I don't say this lightly either, they know the average person doesn't know the difference between quality and not.
Do you guys ever watch basketball, like in any capacity?
Basketball or baseball?
Basketball. Basketball. Yes. Basketball, making a comeback.
This is a movie podcast. So,
in basketball terms, there is a type of basketball player they call a volume shooter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what the term volume shooter means?
It just takes a whole lot of shots.
Well, so do you know why?
No, why?
Is going to go in eventually
because some of them go
in.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Now that's the movie industry now.
Yeah,
they are volume shooting, and like, look, if you go 0-for-5, but that next one's a 3-pointer, hey,
yeah. So to build off of that, and what I was going to respond to you with, you know, because you said I don't think this is debatable, is what you said, Grayson, and
everything's debatable.
Everything's debatable. First off, or arguable. Second thing is, I disagree with you. I think that back then, times of yore and times of now, you have about the same...
The land of a go?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you have the same hit and miss ratio. You just have a much higher volume of movies now. So there's way more numerically bad movies compared to how many movies are decent.
All right, fair.
Have left behind.
I mean, there is just more.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that, you know, to begin with. I just think that you have more... So many more movies now. Like the amount of movies that come out per year now up across all of the viewing options compared to, you know, 20 years ago is fucking drastic.
Sure, and I totally understand that. And there, I mean, 100 different movies I could talk about why I think that's
wrong.
But
you want to talk about Waterworld? You know what I mean?
But like, look at a movie like Varsity Blues.
Waterworld is better than what people give it credit for.
I agree with, maybe, I 100%
but
agree with that.
But it's still not great. You know
so
what
is,
I mean?
And also,
and
like,
it,
so is the
Postman. Did it have Costner in it?
Yep.
And it had Costner in it. So you have a huge star for that time. Mm-hmm. Big name in Waterworld.
And Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that movie wasn't the best. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, but it still got made. It still came out, but no one talks about it because it wasn't that good. We don't
talk about people talk about it.
$200 million.
Yeah, people talk about it.
$200 million is like 1993, which is so much fucking money.
Yeah, a lot of water to bring.
That's like $1 billion now.
No, it's like $500 million. I bet it's like $500 million.
Still, that's still a lot of money.
Sure.
Let's wind back to Monkey Man for a second. So it's time to wrap this one up.
Okay.
So with Monkey Man, you know, I'll go ahead and score it because we're rambling a little bit about the volume of movies being bad.
Water.
Sure. Yeah, a lot. there is quite a bit of water in the water world. Shocking development.
Shocked.
We need a water world reboot.
I had a dream.
We do not need a water world reboot.
What? We'll dig into that in a second episode.
I agree. So I think we need a Postman reboot. I prefer the Postman. But that's just me.
Oh. Anyway, your score on Monkey Man, sir.
Just make him sit there in silence for a minute after what he just fucking said.
I love that movie. Exactly. I love it. Go on. Sorry.
So, look, I think Monkey Man is a pretty good movie. Now, look, is it perfection? Absolutely not. Is it the best action movie? No. But, look, it's cool. Brings a lot to the table. I think Monkey Man is like a 7. Like, I'm down with it. I would be happy to see a sequel. I don't ever believe we'll get one. I appreciate the decent story. It's a little bit of a different movie than what I thought it was going to get. And that's to the betterment of this film. So I like Monkey Man. I hope everybody gets to see it. Won't be around very much longer, though. So if you guys didn't get a chance to see it, you better do it real soon. So I like Monkey Man. It's a 7.
I agree with you. It's a 7. I don't think anywhere near 10, but I don't think it's a 3 or 4 or 5. I think Monkey Man does a lot right. I think there's a way more better than there's way more good than bad in this, and it's a solid film that you can throw in the same category as, well, if you like John Wick, you like Bourne, you'll like this too. Why wouldn't you? It's just, I think that's a compliment to put those in the same category as those, because those are the same type, with the same type of hero doing things for the same type of reason. Also, kind of, it makes it a more grounded, makes real superheroes, but it slots right in there. I don't think there's much of an issue. You wouldn't have anyone argue, well, no, Monkey Man doesn't fit with the. I think it does. And there are a lot of really beautiful sequences in this movie, too, that we didn't even talk about. To name a very artsy fartsy kind of stuff that really kind of goes unappreciated by a lot of people. But when I see it, I love it, because that's where the passion goes, is those shots right there that I'm sure he had to fight to keep in. But yeah, this is it's every bit of a 7 for me. I was really kind of, I really enjoyed this. And Chris, I do think if you watch this, you would be very positive on it too.
Oh yeah. When it comes out on Netflix, I'm going to watch it.
Sure. But yeah, so what, let me ask you this. What score do you think you would have given it? And have you seen the trailer and hearing some of the discussion?
Probably 7.
Why are you laughing, Roger?
Because we both gave it a 7, so we gave it a 7.
Yeah, probably 7. It sounds like it'd be around there. Give or take half a point, maybe.
6.5.
I'd love to get your take on the carnage as well, because the carnage is pretty brutal.
I do think you will like those. Monkey Man, though.
Oh, yeah. No. It seems like I enjoy it. Yeah. I was excited for it. Just not excited enough to when we were watching it.
A lot of great sound effects, like someone getting hit with a pan. It's like the thung, like the point. Like when a knife goes in the flesh, you hear like the crack. It's awesome. I loved it. All right, gentlemen. This has been episode 378A of Ford Love Cinema, a movie podcast. Each new episode posts every Tuesday and Friday morning at 5 a.m. on the podcast service of your choice. Of the following 6, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And please note that the posting on YouTube does happen just a little later than the other postings. Please leave a comment or 2, rate, subscribe. Every little bit helps. More importantly, thank you very much for listening. Check out the show on Twitter at LoveCinemaPod. I am at Grayson Maxwell 1.
I am at Rod Stillian.
I'm Christopher Bond.
Don't forget to check us out on Facebook. Always posting new, interesting news stories about the film industry. And check us out on YouTube. Send us an email to fortheloveofcinemapodcast@gmail.com. And next week, we're taking a look at Civil War, and there's no B episode for next week.